I feel like the Lord's been talking to me some about the thought we put on the board. We wrote rejoice, but remember. And so I want us to think about some of the things the Bible says about this subject. You know, the word says rejoice with the wife of thy youth. It's a wonderful time, isn't it? It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Another place it says rejoice, O young man in thy youth. Another place says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, this morning, the word rejoice is mentioned 192 times in the Bible. Sometimes in different ways. But I was looking up in the Old Testament. It says a primitive root, probably to brighten up. That is, blithe or, and I'm skipping a little bit here, blithe or gleesome, cheer up, be or make glad, have or make joyful, be or make merry, cause to rejoice. In the New Testament, it's basically the same word. It says calmly happy or well off, to be full of cheer, that is calmly happy or well off. Joy, joyful, joyfully or rejoice. You know, the Lord tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. And He tells us these things, to rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I feel like the Lord gave me a few thoughts with that, and I ask you to bear with me and pray for us this morning. You know, the scripture that's taken from is taken from Proverbs 5. And there's a few verses that go with that. In the 15th verse we start, Proverbs 5 and 15. It says here, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You know, when we get married, we vow to each other, don't we? To be true, to be faithful. There's vows that we take to one another. And it makes our heart to rejoice. We love to do that, don't we? And then we go, and it's such an exciting time. It's all, life is young. Life is all new. Life is full of bright promises. And the only thing you can think of is the joys of the future many times. And that's good. That's good. The Lord says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You know, I believe God wants us folks to, what's it say here? To be gleesome, to cheer up, to be glad, full of cheer, calmly happy or well off. Is it true that the Lord would like, in spite of what happens around us, that the inside be different than the outside is? You know, that's what the scriptures teach us. And so we all have some growing to do in that, probably. But you know, I'm thinking this morning, that love that the Lord has given to a marriage is made to have the potential to be there the rest of our life. Always loving. Yes, it's tested. Yes, we struggle with one another's differences. But do you know that there is joy to be had all through life? There's nothing quite like the beauty of having a companion that is your best friend. Having a companion that has your best interests in mind. Having a companion that understands you in ways that no one else possibly could. There's nothing quite like that. Having a companion that we'll challenge you when you need challenged. You know, sometimes we need that too, don't we? We need challenged, and other people don't know us well enough to challenge us many times, and it wouldn't work. But our husband, our wife, they know us, don't they? We need that. It's a great treasure. It's a great blessing in life to have that and thank God for it. And he says, rejoice. He says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You know, in the scriptures where it talks about the lady in Proverbs 31, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You know, it's something valuable. That's what it's saying there. You don't just catch somebody like that along the street all the time. It's something really valuable. It's something to treasure, something to be had this morning. It says of her strength, this is verse 25 in that chapter, Proverbs 31. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Do you know that the character traits that is in that woman, the blessing that she is in so many ways, do you know that it itself brings rejoicing in her life? It brings that we read, calmly happy or well off. She is investing in life. She is working diligently and hard to perform the things of life. And it pays off, doesn't it? It pays off. It says her children rise up and call her blessed. You know, it pays off when we do God's way. When we really take His way, it pays off big dividends, folks. It's a wonderful thing. But I want to reread now to us what we read in Proverbs 5, because I believe the Lord gave me a burden for this morning. And I want to ask us to consider. It says, rejoice, rejoice. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants us to remember some things. Let our joy, let our youth, let our enjoyment in our home, let our enjoyment in the good things of life be tempered by God's will. Let the things the Lord has given us be tempered by the Word of God. Be tempered by the voice of reason, by the voice of those things that God gives to us. You know, it says, drink waters out of thine own cistern. Do you know what that's talking about this morning? It means enjoy your wife, not someone else's wife. Not some other lady. I'm going to be a little bit plain and yet not be too plain, I hope, this morning. It says here, drink waters out of thine own cistern. Do you know God has given to us to be able to be married and to enjoy a godly and holy and happy relationship that brings joy in time to come? The scripture we read there says, she shall rejoice in time to come. It don't run out in a few days. It's not over with a big angry something in a few weeks or months or a couple of years. It's made to last because God made it that way. And he said, I want you to rejoice with your wife of your youth. And you're going to rejoice in time to come. I believe that's scriptural. I believe we could say that. There's going to be a lot of blessings to it. But I want to tell you something. The blessings don't come when we drink out of someone else's cistern. The blessings don't come when we take things outside the will of God and work with it in ways that is abominable to God. That brings every kind of distraught feeling a man can have. It brings disease. It brings hopelessness. It brings what is life all about and worth anyway. It brings a future that has no hope. What is out there? I want to tell you this morning, the Maker, the Designer, gave us some things. And he said, I want you to drink water out of your own cistern. You know what a cistern is, right? It's a big tank in the ground or above the ground. And it holds water. And the writer here is likening that to marriage. Drink out of your own tank. Be happy from your own. Don't try to go and get it somewhere else. Don't look somewhere else because it's not there. The true water isn't there. It's contaminated. It'll hurt you. You want to rejoice in time to come? Then turn away from that. Then turn back to where the Lord said, drink waters out of your own cistern. And it says here, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Do you know that in our world today, where love is totally misunderstood and misapplied, where people on every hand believe lust is love, there's a great difference between lust and love this morning. And we find here, it says here, let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. I want to tell you, we live in a very perverted world this morning. We live in a perverted world where most of our men in the United States are viewing things that causes trouble in their heart, in their marriage, in their lives. Causes trouble. Folks, listen this morning. The Lord wants you to drink waters out of your own well. And He wants you to be satisfied. And He made it to be satisfied. He made our lives to be satisfied. He made our lives to be full of hope and full of blessing and honor and strength. But it takes something. It takes men and women of integrity. It takes the fear of the Lord. It takes believing the Word of God and Scripture and taking it into our life and living by it and not sharing that with the devil or his people this morning. I want to encourage us this morning. I've known people. I've known people that didn't have a true marriage. And they were very, they just took it that way. And I want to tell you something. I've known people with heartache. I've known people that want to commit suicide. It comes from that kind of life, folks. Those people are who I'm talking about. I've known people that wanted the true happiness of life. I've known people that wanted the good things of life. And they searched for them in the wrong places. And they searched for them in lust. And they searched for them in a not a true marriage. And they found sorrow. And they found disease. And they found troubles in their hearts and lives. Folks, let's believe the Word of God. We live in a world that is so perverted, I cannot hardly believe it. I cannot believe we live in a world this perverted. But folks, we don't have to be. The Maker, the Designer, the One that put it in the hearts of men to be happy, the One that put it in the hearts of men to be satisfied, to be full of life, full of vigor. You know that comes through Jesus Christ, doesn't it? It says that He was, what's it say there in John 10? I came to bring life, and that more abundantly. That's what He came to bring, folks. That's the Lord's gift to us today. Let's don't let anybody drink with us, and let's don't drink out of somebody else's cistern this morning. I thought of it like this. And I somehow had a little trouble deciding to use this illustration, but I'm going to. I remember on the job quite a number of times, or several times, I'll say it that way, I would plug a tool in, and it would really take off. And I would see fire coming out of it, maybe, or maybe not fire, but it would really glow for a minute. It's because we hooked it up to the wrong voltage. We got it to 240 instead of 120. And you know what? It ran really fast for a minute. And then it died. That was the end of it. Folks, that's the way it is. Sin has a little zing to it. And then it brings death. And we need to know that. We need to know that down in here. We need to get it down through our mind, into our heart, and ask the Lord, Lord, teach me. Teach me the right ways. Teach me true ways. Teach me ways of health and beauty and love this morning. God has them for us, does He not? And so I want to encourage us this morning, let's don't take our own way. Folks, we think, well, this is out there somewhere. Listen, the devil's everywhere. And you better be careful in your hearts and lives. You better run from the things that would lead to these kind of sins. You put them far from you. Don't let them get close to you. Run for your life. Run for your might. I want to read to you Proverbs 6, starting at 23 and go through 26. It says here, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." Oh, the commandment is a lamp. Thank God, in this dark world of misunderstanding what is good in life, somewhere there is a light. Somewhere there is a lamp. Thank the Lord for that this morning. "And for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Did you know that? Do you have that down in your heart? That the way of life comes from reproofs of instruction? That it comes from opening our hearts and saying, "Lord, teach me. Teach me. Teach me through your people. Teach me through my enemies. Teach me from whatever." I'll be honest with you. I'm taught by the devil. Now, you might misunderstand that for a minute, but when I see what he does, I know what I don't want to do. He teaches me well. Folks, we need to understand some things so that we don't die. So we don't die. That tool dies, and it dies quick too. But we die eternally. This morning, I want to encourage us, God has something so, so much better and so satisfying in life, if we will believe it. Who hath believed our report? Starting, let's see, 23, let's read on. "To keep thee," and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, "to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whore woman a man is brought to a piece of bread." I'll just stop there. Listen, how many have we seen take this way? How much substance is a piece of bread? Can you buy it like a nugget of gold? Could you sell it for thousands of dollars an ounce, or $1,600 an ounce, or whatever? I have no idea what it is these days. But at one time it was $1,600 an ounce, I believe. You know, this morning, how much is bread worth? What's the value of it? What can you build with it? What can you use it for? Something to fill your stomach with for a second. For maybe a few minutes. A piece of bread. It doesn't say a loaf. Or it may mean a loaf in the... I looked that up a little bit. But just a little bread. Do you know this morning the Lord wants to give us something so much better than that? But I have seen men whose lives were full of value be brought to a piece of bread, to where there's very little hope left. What do I have left in life? I have seen quite a number of them this morning, and women. And I want to encourage us, young folks, rejoice. Rejoice in the days that you are in. Rejoice in the Lord always. And don't rejoice in evil. There is where we get a zing. And we die. That's what happened to Eve. I want to now, let's go on. Because the first one we mentioned was, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And then on down we said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And I want to look at a little of the value of some of this. In Ecclesiastes 11 and 9, I want to read a scripture. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Isn't youth an awesome time? your strength is there. You can go. You have very little care in life. Believe me, the days of care will come. When you have much to do and not enough hours to do it. When you have a lot hanging on you and sometimes you don't know what to do. Those days will come, folks. But youth, oh, did you know the Bible doesn't say to hang your head and be down in the mully grubs in your youth? It says rejoice. I believe it. I believe that is a time for that. Now, does it say hook up to 240 and ruin your life? It tells us not to do that. But listen to what it goes on to. The wise man tells us here, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. I know there's different ways of understanding that scripture I've heard different people say, but I believe one thing we can draw from it is this. We're going to be brought into judgment for our youth. How you use your youth, you're going to be brought into judgment. Do you think that's going to be in 60 years from now? Is that what you're thinking? I want to tell you something. We are judged all along the way. We are judged when it comes time for us to have a promotion in life. And the Lord would like to give us that wife of our youth. But we're out blowing it. We're judged there, aren't we? Folks, there's a time for us to say enough is enough. This morning it says, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Now, this is for all of us. We want to get these things down in our heart. Put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. That vanity means they're not much value. They're really, I think the word is more or less worthless. Now, it's not that youth is worthless. But that's not where really the work of our life. Now, yes, we're building character. That's very worth a lot. But I will tell you, youth, the experience of having no bonds, no bands, no responsibilities and all of that, that's kind of worthless, isn't it? There's not a lot really happening in that. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to take us and take us from there and help us to understand some elements that He wants us to use in our life, because I believe He wants us to rejoice during this time. He just doesn't want us to have sorrow. You know what that word sorrow means? I looked it up in Strong's in the Greek, and it said, or in the Hebrew. It says here, vexation, anger, angry, indignation, provocation, provoking, wrath, spite, sorrow. Do you know those words are things that many take into their life? You know, rejoice, but remember something, folks. Let's don't let our life get laded up with sin. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with what it says about removing sorrow from your heart. It says, and put away evil from thy flesh. Put it away. You see, you get it away from you. Have you ever got something away from you? Have you ever got away from something? Put evil away from you. It says, for childhood and youth are vanity. Rejoice, enjoy your time, but remember something. I'm going to be judged for this time. This time's going to mean something the rest of my life. What I'm doing right now means something. It matters. I'm going to be judged for this time. And someday I'm going to be judged in eternity if sins don't go on before. And so this morning, We look on down one more verse in verse chapter 12 and 1. And it says, remember, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I want to tell you something, young folks. You're going to get old if you keep living. If you don't die young, you're going to get old. And getting old, somebody texted me the other day. They said, it's not for sissies. You know what? Build you a foundation that you can live on, young folks. Rejoice in this time. Enjoy it. Build your character. Be ready for the next phase. Follow diligently God's will. Understand what His will is, and then follow it instead of our passions. Follow it instead of my desires. It's what satisfies. It's what the designer, the maker, the creator has made to be a blessing to us. Oh, this morning, I just, Lord help us. I wish we could implant this. You can. I remember many years ago, as a young person, I would read Proverbs. I would read these very scriptures we've been reading this morning. I believed them. And I want to tell you what, if you'll take the scriptures and believe them, it'll keep you in the day of temptation. It'll help you when you realize what Satan is bidding for you on. Dropping on down now to the 13th verse, listen to this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I think one of the greatest mistakes we can make when we're young is that we think this judgment is at the end of our life, when really it's today. It may be tomorrow. It may be a month from now or a year from now. I hope, is that understandable what I said? Folks, I've seen it again and again. Oh, how the Lord wants to bless. The scripture says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. I believe that. I have experienced that. It maketh rich. Folks, a person that is contented is a rich man. A person that has joy in life and that has the good things God came to bring us is a rich man. And the Lord wants you and me to be rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It's when we take our own ways, when we live after the flesh, when we allow the enemy a place. That's when the enemy has a place to rob and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And you know that I believe if we would temper our lives with carefulness, we would find that it's made to be enjoyed all through life. Do you know that just like we said about marriage a while ago, do you know that God made life to have many joys in it for us? He made life to have many good things in it. Temper ourselves with carefulness that we might have the riches of the Lord. But the wicked, it's not so, folks. It's not so. We need to consider those things. Build it into our life. And there's never a better time than to start building. Start looking right where we're at this morning. Philippians 4 and 4. Listen to this. Exhortation. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Do you know that scripture, it's followed by, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, which that word moderation is probably a little different in the Greek than what we understand it. But do you know this morning the Lord says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in what? Folks, if we only rejoice in the things of this life, we're going to be sadly out of hope a lot of times. But we can always rejoice in the Lord. Did you know we can always rejoice in the Lord? In who He is? In His solid Word? In the fact that we know that He has life in control and that there's not one thing that can happen to me except it goes through His hand? And that what has happened to me came through His hand? That is a blessing, is it not? That is a great solace to me. It's a great consolation because I know there is a God in control. And He could change everything if He wanted. He could kill people. He could take people out. He could cause people. He could do whatever He wanted to do. He's God. And if He's chosen not to, then He'll take care of me right where I'm at. That is an awesome consolation this morning. I think we should rejoice in that. One of the commentaries wrote this about this rejoice in the Lord always, always. It says, it is the privilege of Christians to do this. Not at certain periods and at distant intervals, but at all times they may rejoice that there is a God and Savior. Now remember the scripture said, rejoice in the Lord always. But at all times they may rejoice that there is a God and Savior. They may rejoice in the character, law, and government of God, in His promises, and in communion with Him. The Christian, therefore, may be and should be always a happy man. If everything else changes, yet the Lord does not change. If the sources of all other joy are dried up, yet this is not. And there is not a moment of a Christian's life in which he may not find joy in the character, law, and promises of God. And so I say this morning, I believe by the Spirit of the Lord, rejoice. Rejoice. Enjoy the good things of God's plan. Enjoy the good things all around us. I was outside, I don't know, yesterday morning or morning before, and looking around the grass, the trees, the birds flying around, all the things, you know what? All those things are just little blessings that the Lord gave to us. Now we can get our eyes and our mind and all of that on everything else. Or we can have not only the blessing of God Himself, but many blessings that He's given us that just things He made. The Lord loves that. He loves for you and me to have a happy heart. And so this morning, I want to say all that and yet balance it with the scriptures. I want to read just a few more places here, if you'll bear with me. Where the Lord wants us to balance our rejoicing with those things that He has in mind for us to remember. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Remember some things, folks. Nehemiah 8 and 9 and 10, it says this, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. Did you know this is a key thing here? He said, send portions to those that don't have it. Do you know, if you want to be happy in life and rejoice, get your eyes off yourself, folks, all of us. It's one of the key things, key elements that of my thoughts and preaching, I will tell you. We have to get our eyes off of ourselves and get them on service. Folks, it's a key element to being happy, to having a contented life. We serve ourselves. Are you going to fulfill yourself in yourself? No, we're not going to. But there is a fulfillment that God brought all through by being righteous, by being true, by serving the Lord, by serving others, by remembering him from our youth up, folks, there is a joy there. Cannot be had any other way. It goes on to say, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's enough days with sorrow in it. There's times to rejoice. Let it be tempered, but rejoice. Fill it with the good things of life and of God. Drink out of our own cisterns. Young folks, take God's will. Look for it, search for it, and don't let yourself do anything but that. And I will tell you, I cannot but believe if you will do that, you will find the joys of life. You will find the good things that God came to give in life. In Ecclesiastes, here we go again. Just a couple more places here. 7 and verse 2. It is better. I want us to remember this. Young folks, get this in your mind and understand why it says this. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. You know what? One is against the other, isn't it? It's like everything God made. There's a positive and a negative. That God made everything that way. Folks, by sorrow, the heart is made better. We give up our selfish ways many times. Selfishness brings sorrow. It brings distress. Give up ourselves. It says here, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. That's the scripture. The heart of fools is out there laughing and cackling and carrying on and shooting up and doing all those silly things. And then they land up. What has life been to me? Distress and woe and... what do I have? Folks, this morning, I believe the Lord has such good things. I want to read one more place. Habakkuk 3 and 17 says, although the fig tree, 3 and 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Now listen to what this writer wrote. This is the most interesting scriptures. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Sounds like life was pretty down on this one. Although all of this stuff happens, everything's down, the chips are all against me, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Oh, don't we have trouble sometimes walking on the rocks, on the mountains, the things we have to climb, the troubles we have to go through and over? But the writer got a vision, and he said, though I have all these troubles and nothing is working out for me, I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. He is going to make my feet like the feet of a deer. And I'm going to be able to jump those things. And those things aren't going to stop me. Those things are not going to kill me. I'm not going to slip down the mountainside because He's going to make my feet like hinds' feet this morning. Oh, I want to encourage us. Let our deepest and purest joys be in our God. Keep full in Him. We cannot count on the joys of this life to continue, but God will. Folks, if we joy in the Lord, it's permanent, it's eternal. The Lord help us this morning. Oh, listen, rejoice, but remember the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, folks. That's where it's at. Whatever we have to do, how we have to crawl all the way to heaven, folks, let's crawl. We got to go there. We've got to make it. The Lord made a good way. He made a heavenly. He made so many blessings for us. And yes, it's mixed with the thorns and the tares that we have to face every day on our jobs and all those things. The Lord bless us this morning. Amen.